As we continue to move through 1 Peter, we continue in the same thoughts we considered last time. We consider the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Although he had never sinned, he was tortured to death through crucifixion to pay our sin debt. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It is only in Christ that we become the righteousness of God. It is only through his sufferings that we can be reconciled with God and be declared righteous. Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh so that we can be forgiven of our sins. We often only consider the Lord's sufferings on the cross and the temptations in the wilderness. However, we must remember that not only is he fully God, but he was fully man as well. Jesus Christ had to deal with the flesh. Jesus suffered in the flesh. He suffered under the temptation that the flesh gives, yet he never succumbed to the temptation. He never gave into the flesh, and then he died a death he did not deserve. With the sufferings of Christ in mind, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles choose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to take your word into our hearts, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, and that you would be glorified in and through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sorry for the yawn as I'm recording. I've had a pretty long day and a long week. It seems like I've had 3 Mondays already this week, and it's just Wednesday. But anyway, as we look at our passage today, we see that the war rages on. The New Testament uses the imagery of war in several places. We see in Ephesians 6 that we're told to put on the armor of God. In 2 Timothy, we're encouraged to share in the suffering as a good soldier. And of course, here in 1 Peter 4, we are told to arm ourselves with the same understanding. Going back to Ephesians 6, we are told who our enemy is. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand." And then in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world." So as we think about these two passages there in Ephesians 6, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5, we have to understand that if we are saved, then God's enemy is our enemy. The devil is our enemy, and he is not just our enemy. He's not just trying to defeat us. He is looking to devour us. He wants to go beyond defeating us. He utterly wants to destroy us. This is war, and there are no neutral parties. You are either for the Lord or you're for the devil. Peter here is saying for us to arm ourselves, and we are to arm ourselves with the same understanding. We are to be armed with the mind of Christ. We are to take on ourselves the same attitude as Jesus. We are to suffer as good soldiers. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. So as good soldiers, we must not be entangled with the things that enslaved us before we became part of the Lord's army. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4 for a moment. Verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles choose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry." As we think about this, the question that I would ask us to consider, each of us to consider, is first of all, are you saved? We need to evaluate it. We need to think, am I saved? And after looking at these passages, we need to understand that if we are saved, then we are dead to sin. And if you have died to the old self, you should be dying to yourself every day. It's not just a once and done death, but every day I must die to myself. I must die to the flesh. I bring the flesh into suffering by denying it what it wants. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, we find out what the flesh desires. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You see, when a person is saved, he or she identifies with the crucifixion of Christ. They do this by considering themselves to have died with Christ. We must consider ourselves dead to sin. If we are dead to sin, then we refuse to feed the flesh. You do not feed something that is dead. As Peter said in verse 3, there has already been enough time spent doing the works of the flesh. It is past time for the church to quit doing what the world does. It is time for believers to quit being entangled with the concerns of the world. All of these things in our lives that keep us from being consistent in worship, and that keep us from being both corporate and personal Bible study, and keeps us from our prayer closets, all these things are keeping us from being effective soldiers for Jesus Christ. The distractions of this world are keeping us from having spiritual victory. Brother and sister in Christ, it is time for us to be finished with sin. This means that we are to be disgusted with the sin that continues to plague us. We must make the decision to quit living for our human desires. However, too often, people will pray a prayer, get baptized, and then continue living for human desires. That is not salvation. True salvation dies to self and lives for God. Luke 9:23, there it says, "Then he said," that being Jesus, "to them all, if anyone wants to come follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so if we're going to if we're going to arm ourselves and be good soldiers as Christ is calling us to do, we're going to suffer as good soldiers, and we're going to take up our cross and follow him. But we also need to realize from our passage that the gospel gives life. Verse 5 says, "They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead." And verse 6 continues by saying, "For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards." Folks, the dead that Peter referred to are people that had previously heard the gospel and were now physically dead. Before they died, they heard the condemnation that they were under, and the gospel that explained the way out of that condemnation. And so they came to understand that they were condemned in their sin and that Jesus was the solution. They understood that the judgment of God on sin was coming, and they believed the gospel before they died. Since they believed the gospel, their bodies died, but they lived on in the spirit. So I want you to understand that they did not begin to live in the spirit once their body died, but they began living spiritually the moment they believed the gospel. They knew the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10:10. So do you know of that abundant life? Are you living the abundant life? The abundant life comes from Jesus. He said, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. And so today we have a decision to make just like every other day. Are we going to live for Christ or for the enemy? Are we going to give in to the flesh? Are we going to die to the flesh and live for God? I hope and pray that you'll make the decision to continue living for Christ and live only for Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day again, and Lord, I ask that you would help us to be good soldiers for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.